It is Locked On Jazz for the 20th of July. What are the things that should work on the court in the bubble in Orlando? Is Rudy Gobert's chance for Defensive Player of the Year gone? And why does everyone like Portland so much? It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. It is the week we start playing basketball again. Scrimmage on Thursday against Phoenix. And then Saturday we'll have another scrimmage. Monday we'll have another scrimmage. All those will be on the radio for you. All those will be on the radio for you. Live TV will be tape delayed on game number two. Ron and I back with you. Come to you from Vivint Smart Home Arena. Yep, that's where we're calling the games from. Off the Jumbotron, back to Orlando. We'll try to figure out how to do this the best we possibly can. Here's what we're going to do this week on Locked On Jazz, because I'm fired up. We are going to look at what is going to work basketball-wise in the bubble. What's going to matter? Now, honestly, kind of up to this point, all we've talked about is what's going to be the bubble like and what's this and what's that. And frankly, gotten kind of lucky just intuitively, like on what might what we might get and how it's going to play and all those kind of things. And frankly, I think we've nailed it. Like, this I'm not as confident about. I'm not entirely sure what the bubble is going to be and how it's going to play. And so we'll look at that this week. Three things that I think will matter: rim, great shooters, and isolation play. We'll dig into those. Who are the best in the league? Who's this an advantage for? Who works best this way? Those are all coming up. But first, I must tell you that today's show is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Also important to discuss whether Rudy Gobert can win his third straight Defensive Player of the Year. The league announced that these games will not be impact, will impact the awards. That instead, the awards will be voted for before league starts. Now, the reason why Rudy Gobert should be the Defensive Player of the Year is the Utah Jazz are the only team in the NBA that is in the top five at denying shots at the rim, as well as in the top five of denying three-point shots. That's because of Rudy Gobert. When you look at rim frequency, the Jazz are the fourth best in the NBA at 32.2, and they're the fifth best at threes, and they're the second best at denying corner threes. Those are all because of Rudy Gobert's presence. If you watch NBA games, which nobody has done now for over 5 months, right? Is it four and a half months? It's obvious to you that Rudy Gobert should be the Defensive Player of the Year. You know, Giannis deserves certainly some discussion and is worthy, and there's probably a few others that deserve some discussion. You know, Bam Adebayo, I think, has been pretty terrific. I don't think he'll get that mentioned, but Milwaukee's the number one defensive team. Toronto's number two, so, you know, who do you look at there? Lakers are number three defensively. Anthony Davis will get some mentions. Boston, now this is the trick. The Jazz are 10th. Jazz are 10th in the league defensively. Jazz are one of five teams in the NBA that are top 10 offensively and defensively, by the way. So Rudy should. But I'll be really honest. I think all of the COVID, which is not his, some of which is not his fault, getting COVID's not his fault, and all the Donovan Rudy stuff, and all the negative pub, and the touching of the microphones is going to have a negative impact on his Defensive Player of the Year campaign. And I think be the difference between him winning his third straight Defensive Player of the Year and not. The other thing that I think is going to really hurt him is that we haven't seen basketball in 4.5 months. He is someone that you have to have seen recently, been reminded that of what he's done to deserve and to be the player he is. It's not, you know, the numbers that I just went and found that I know, because I'm the Jazz play-by-play announcer, are not natural numbers for people. And so I think it's difficult for people to naturally look at Rudy and think that he's going to be, you know, be the defensive player of the year. Jazz are the seventh best defensive team in the NBA in the half court. Third best defensive rebounding team. 10th best overall defense. Those are the reasons why Rudy should be the defensive player of the year. But they are, I think it's unlikely. I think all that has taken place and the fact that you don't get to see Rudy back out on the floor again is going to hurt him. So we'll see. I hope not. I'll make a little campaign. I'll make a little push here, but I don't have that kind of power. All right, so there's three things that I think are going to be important on the floor in the bubble. As we move toward what's it going to be like on the floor in the bubble, I think there's going to be there's a lot of impact here. The number one impact to me is officiating. We just don't know the answer on that one, honestly. That's the one that actually I'm most curious about. I think the games will be officiated differently, and I don't know how. Okay, so that's the first and foremost thing that I have out there for you. The second thing is I think pace could be really different. Guys could be running more. I think runs will be different. But in all these areas that things will be different, I actually don't know what the impact will be. What I do think I know is, and this is not great for us, is that teams that need cohesion are going to struggle. Now, they've had a lot of practice time here. And the word out of the Jazz camp is really good, that there's just great energy, that the guys are really into it, that they're having a good time, that they've embraced the situation much more than some of the other teams there. Frankly, all our guys are there. There's still teams that have like great question marks of who's there, who's not, who's left, who's around, all sorts of things. So I think that there's, you know, that is, you know, that's one that I think you gotta look at a little bit as, you know, as an advantage to the Jazz. But generally, I think there's some question about cohesion right now and whether those teams that need that rhythm like we usually do are going to be okay. I think that's going to be tough on us. So what I do think will matter is, one, I think shooting will be less good. Unless you're a great shooter, I think isolation will be more important. Let me back up and explain what I mean by that. Great shooters can shoot. If Bojan Bogdanović was playing, he'd still be able to shoot. He just walks out of he walks in the gym, he can shoot. So I think the great shooters will be able to shoot. The average shooters will struggle. We are going to break down tomorrow or the next day each of these items. Today we're going to look at rim. Tomorrow we'll look at shooters. The next day we're going to look at isolation. I think with a lack of cohesion offensively, we're going to see more isolation basketball taking place at times than we've seen before. So that's my take on it. We're going to look at rim play coming up. Both what teams get to the rim the most, what teams deny the rim the most, what players get to the rim the most, what players get to the rim the most in short periods of time because they might be a little bit more valuable than otherwise. Those are the things we're looking at as we continue today on Locked On Jazz. Tomorrow, we'll look at the shooters, those who gain the most from their three-point shooting. Davis Bertans not available. Will be on near the top of the list. Duncan Robinson. And then isolation. So we'll hopefully by Wednesday have you completely primed and ready for what we're going to expect to see out of these games and how teams play. And the rest. Today's show brought to you by Rock Auto, our auto friends over at rockauto.com. You know, chain stores have different pricing tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. Rockauto.com's prices are the same for everyone and reliably low. Rockauto.com always offers low prices, offers the lowest prices possible. Rather than changing prices based on the market. You know, if you go into like the brick and mortar store or the chain stores, you only get what they have available, what they want to price it how they're dealing with their inventory. That's the exact opposite of rockauto.com, a family-run business serving auto part customers for online for 20 years. rockauto.com, to shop for auto and body parts for hundreds of manufacturers. You can look at all of them. The catalog's unique, remarkably easy to navigate, and quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle. Choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. It's all there for you at rockauto.com. And when you go to rockauto.com, make sure that you write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us?" box so that you know that we sent you. That's rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need. Today's show brought to you by Murdoch Chevy. What are they doing at Murdoch Chevy right now? Well, they're doing all the Murdoch Sure things to keep you safe during this time period, and amazing deals, and they have the best truck lineup in the world. There is nothing that matches the Chevy truck lineup. And frankly, the SUV lineup's getting pretty darn good, and they have 15% off MSRP cash back on their select SUVs right now. 2020 Blazer, 12% back. 2020 Equinox, 15% back. 2020 Trax, 15% back. That Blazer, when I drove that Blazer, that's the most compliments I've had on a car I've driven in a long time. People love that car. But boy, when we talk Chevy, we got to talk trucks. The Silverado truck is just everything. It is the most luxurious drive with incredible power, four-wheel drive, obviously. And it gives you the feeling, I felt like I was in a Lazy Boy chair, sitting back, just cruising down the road. The Colorado, that was fun. The Colorado truck, versatile, able to do a lot of things, move around. It's kind of the perfect truck to have in the, you know, as a complement to everything else you're doing. Super impressed by the Colorado and the Silverado. It's all going on at Chevy right now, at Murdoch Chevy, located in Woods Cross, right off the freeway, also up in Logan. If you're going to stop by, feel free to email me at dlock09@gmail.com, and we'll make sure we take care of you. The Murdoch Sure program is there for you, and the great truck and SUV lineup that you know to expect out of Chevy. Rim defense, rim offense, to me, seems like the items that are going to be most important. So let's start off with what teams offensively get to the rim the most. Those teams are in the bubble and competing that get to the rim most are the Lakers, the Raptors. Interestingly, by the way, for as important as the rim is, and everyone's like big thing is taking away the rim, of the top teams in the NBA, a bunch of them aren't here. Like Detroit, Minnesota, Charlotte, New York. Chicago's the number one rim team in the league. The only teams in the league that are top 10 in rim shots and threes are Brooklyn, Toronto, Charlotte, Minnesota, and New Orleans. So they actually all top 10 getting shots at the rim as well as taking threes. Of the bubble teams, Lakers take 40% of their shots at the rim. Toronto takes 39.5%. New Orleans takes 37.2 because of Zion and higher with Zion. Indiana takes 36.8. Indiana's a very low three-point shooting team. Will be interesting to see if that is, again, I don't know, but if my feeling is that good shooters will shoot well, average shooters will shoot poorly. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Houston kind of lives by average shooters shooting threes. Well, if their 36% becomes 32, then that's a problem. Indiana's guys don't shoot a lot of threes. Indiana, Houston are the next teams. They're in the top half of getting to the rim offensively. Teams that shoot it well at the rim, Lakers, Dallas, Milwaukee, Miami, Utah, Oklahoma City, but you got to get there. The best defensive teams in the NBA denying the rim, Milwaukee. 29.3% of all shots at the rim. They deny far more than anyone else in the league. Orlando, 31.6. Could make Orlando a little better in this setting than you think. Utah, 32.2%. Miami. Now look at this. This is interesting, right? Offensively, getting to the rim or not didn't seem to correlate to winning. Defensively, denying someone to get to the rim certainly seems to correlate to winning. This is why Rudy's so important, right? Why Rudy's value is so high. So Milwaukee, Brooklyn. Brooklyn comes out brilliantly on all numbers. They just don't have any players playing. Orlando, Utah, Miami. Miami allows a lot of threes. Miami allows the most threes in the league. 41% of opponent shots are threes. They deny the rim. Milwaukee's very similar. If shooting's bad, these teams could be better than you expect. Boston, 33%. Toronto, 33.2%. Clippers, 33.2%. Oklahoma, 33.7%. So the nine teams, the best. Now, who's in the play in this bubble that does not deny shots at the rim? New Orleans? Phoenix, if you count them. Portland, but they have Jokic back. The Lakers, interestingly. The Lakers and Indiana are in the bottom 10 of denying shots at the rim, as are Houston and Denver. So from a defensive standpoint, if you're Denver, Houston, Lakers, or Indiana, this should be a little troublesome. From an offensive standpoint, teams that don't get to the rim, Dallas is 29th in the NBA getting to the rim. San Antonio is 30th. Portland's 26th, Orlando's 25th, Philadelphia's 24th. That should be a bit troublesome. Oklahoma City, 23rd, Miami, 22nd. Really interesting that there's a lack of correlation between getting to the rim offensively and winning. Exact opposite defensively. So those are the teams. Now, what about individuals and individual value that might be higher than otherwise? Because of this. Here's per game, and then I'll dig in a little bit differently per minutes overall shots during the year. Restricted area shots rather than just rim shots. Restricted area shots. Zion gets 13 a game. Now, he's not back in the bubble yet, and the Jazz play them fairly soon. So the timetable on Zion getting back in the bubble here starts to have an impact. Russell Westbrook, 11 shots a game at the rim. His value is up in this setting. Giannis, 10 shots a game at the rim. Montrezl Harrell, who's also not in the bubble right now, 9 shots a game at the rim. LeBron, 8 shots a game. Ben Simmons, 8 shots a game. Domantas Sabonis, 8 shots a game. I'm skipping some guys. And then Rudy Gobert, 7. So of the guys in the bubble, Zion, 13, Russell, 11, Giannis, 10, Montrezl Harrell, 9, LeBron, 8, Ben Simmons, 8, Domantas Sabonis, 8, Rudy Gobert, 8, Anthony Davis, 7, shots per game, Hassan Whiteside, 6.7, shots per game at the rim. Pascal Siakam, 6.7, Drew Holiday, 6.6, Dame Lillard, 6.5. It's an interesting one. On the Dame Lillard, Donovan Mitchell numbers we're always looking at. Bradley Beal, 6.4. Those are Donovan. I'll have to go look at Donovan's number. That's Donovan's model right there. Dame's at 6.5 shots a rim, and Beal's at 6.4. Both of them take 3.3 shots. Beal takes 3.3 shots in the paint, non-restricted. Dame takes only one. Bradley takes a few more mid-range shots. And then Dame takes 9 above the break threes, and Beal takes 7. This is not what I intended to talk about, but let's go look at this. So 6 shots at the rim, 7 and 9 above the break threes. Let's go look at, see if I can find Donovan here for you. Give me 1 second to run a little filter. Put team, Jazz. Donovan Mitchell takes 4.2 shots a night at the rim, 5.2 shots in the paint non-restricted. Donovan's got to move 2 paint non-restricted shots into restricted area shots and draw some more fouls. He's taking 6 above the break threes. So he's right there with Beal and Lillard's at 8. It's really those 5.2 paint non-restricted shots. One or two of them needs to become a foul. Two of them needs to become a layup. And then his shot distribution's fine. And he's 23 years old. Let's remember that. He's 23 years old. Right? Bradley Beal is older than 23. Dame Lillard is 30 years old now. Right? We're asking Donovan to do crazy things at a very, very young age. I think Bradley Beal's 27-28. Digging into it a bit more and looking at shots attempted per 36 minutes, there's some other players that increase in value here, and shots per 100 possessions that you would think, and shots attempted. By the way, here's the, for all the talk on Rudy and the rim, there'll be an interesting note for you here coming your direction as well. It is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight and expertise. Make sure you make me a part of your day every single day as we come your direction. Today's show is brought to you in part by Homie. Homie is a real estate company that is changing the way people shop for real estate. How are they doing that? Well, they've changed the commission structure. Instead of giving your agent 6%, it's a set fee with Homie. And what does that do? Well, that saves you money. That saves you equity. That saves you so that you have more money to put into your house, buy a bigger house, or do the things around your house. Homie will refund you up to $5,000 so you can buy more home. Homie will give you a set price on the other end of this. Homie is selling homes faster. Homie is selling homes for more money. Find out what Homie can do for you. Text LOCK to 88588. That's LOCK, L-O-C-K-E to 88588. A Homie agent will help you connect to your dream home, tour homes, make offers, negotiate deals, and then work to get you $5,000 back. It's all the same stuff, and you get more from your own end of things. LOCK to 88588. That's text LOCK to 88588. So if you look at shots per the season, Montrezl Harrell's taking the most shots around the rim. Andre Drummond second. Rudy Gobert third. Domantas Sabonis fourth. Russell Westbrook fifth. Giannis Antetokounmpo sixth. Zach LaVine. By the way, there are a lot of metrics that say to me that if Chicago ever made Zach LaVine available, I'd go get him. LeBron James, 8, Anthony Davis, 9, Julius Randle, 10, Harden, 11, Whiteside, 12, Jarrett Allen, Mitchell Robinson, Ben Simmons, Clint Capella. Okay, shots per 36 minutes. So now we get into some guys that maybe you wouldn't think of being as valuable that might be a little bit more valuable in the bubble than otherwise. Zion's number 1, Montrezl Harrell's 2, Enes Kanter is 3 at 9.2 shots per 36 minutes. Giannis, Russell Westbrook, Boban, Tony Bradley, 7.4 shots per 36 minutes. Comes of guys in the bubble, jumps up there pretty highly. Jabari Parker, Marvin Bagley, I don't know if either of them will play. DeAndre Ayton for Phoenix. Toronto has a little hidden gem in Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. Derek Favors and Jackson Hayes for New Orleans, who just pound the rim. Jared Allen for Brooklyn. Zubox for the Clippers. And then Rudy Gobert. And Sabonis. So again, per 36 minutes, and it's not quite the same as per 100 possessions, so I'll give that to you in a second. Zion and Montrezl Harrell, Enes Kanter, Giannis, Andre Drummond, Russell Westbrook, Boban, Tony Bradley, 8th, Parker and Bagley, Ayton, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, Derek Favors, Jackson Hayes, Rudy Gobert. For 100 possessions, Enes goes to number 2 behind Zion. Then Montrezl Harrell of people in the bubble. Then Giannis, then Boban, then Tony Bradley. Marvin Bagley, Russell Westbrook, John Collins, not in the bubble. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, Jabari Parker, DeAndre Ayton, Rudy Gobert. Domantas Sabonis. So those are the players that I think will have larger role, larger value, because I think the rim will be more important than ever before, and those defenses that deny the rim, and a player like Rudy becomes even more valuable. Despite the fact that I announced today, I don't think he'll win his defensive player of the year like he should. I don't know if you're noticing this, but there's two phenomena going on right now. One we'll talk about more is that everybody wants us. We'll talk about that more. And the other one is that everyone's in love with Portland. Let me explain why everyone's in love with Portland from a media standpoint. Okay, the Lakers and the Clippers are the two best teams. And then there's this batch of teams 3 through 7. Okay, Utah, without Boyan, with all the other stuff that's gone on, people have, and with Mike Conley's wife's pregnancy pending, people have dismissed us, say we're the team you probably want. I actually can't refute it. I think they might be right. Okay, we'll have to see. You know, I got great faith in Quinn. The players seem to all be together. There seems to be great energy. We're certainly the underdog going into this. Then there's Denver. Denver just doesn't have a playoff history. And the other one that Denver has that's interesting is they're the third best offensive rebounding team in the NBA, and they're the 14th best shooting. They're the worst. The Clippers and Denver are kind of the worst shooting teams of this group, and they rely on offensive rebounding. And I question whether offensive rebounding in this setting in the playoffs with everyone dug in will be nearly as successful. And then Denver's 13th defensively. Only Dallas is really worse. So Denver just has these holes. Oklahoma City, no one really believes they're as good as their numbers say they are, and that they were just playing over their heads, and the differential kind of speaks to that, and they've been crazy hot for a while, but I think that it leaves some doubt. Houston, no one really knows about, and Dallas is kind of the in pick because they're the number one offensive team, and I've been there with that as well, with Dallas, and kind of get into Dallas. But on the other end, they and there's all the love for the Kristaps Porzingis center lineup, but they're better with Dwight. Their lack of Dwight Powell hurts them. I know that there's some talk. I heard Jonathan Sharks the other day was really good, talking about that. You know, not having Dwight Powell allows him to play Kristaps more at the center. But they're 4.0 without Dwight Powell. And they have some really good lineups. And if Kristaps is at the center in that circumstance, they certainly get pretty good. But it's not quite as great as it would be otherwise. Kristaps, they're +7 when Kristaps at center. So I like Dallas a little bit. So what I think's happening here is when you have to pick somebody other than the Lakers or Clippers, Utah doesn't really excite you. Denver doesn't excite you. Oklahoma City, nobody believes. Houston's such an enigma, nobody's sure. Dallas is kind of the pick, right? They got Luka. That's been my team. I've said the same thing. Like, they have the star. They have the unique lineup. They have great shooting. I mean, they have really some of the best shooters in the league, and I believe good shooters will hold. And I think average shooters won't, as I've said multiple times today. And so when you, and then you get to this next group. And because I think that nobody really has anyone they like in this front group, I think they then go to Portland. Like it's Portland, actually, if they were in this group of 3 through 7, I think you'd be taking them possibly to go back to the Western Conference Finals. They get Nurkic back. Their numbers last year with Nurkic on the floor are terrific. Interestingly enough, if you look at Portland, their numbers this year are almost exactly what their numbers were last year when Nurkic wasn't on the floor. That makes sense. So they're actually backing it up. But if you look at last year when Dame and Nurkic were on the floor together and you got his big picks being set and they're doing all their stuff, they're pretty terrific. They're +11 per 100 possessions with an 118.3 offense. Now, that was all with Aminu as your power forward, and now Zach Collins should be your power forward is even better. So there's a lot of reasons to really look at Portland and say, oh, I like what they have. Couple it even more that none of the 3 through 7 teams, which are all super interesting, actually feel that good. I think it makes it more likely that you end up with Portland as your team you like. But the reality is Portland's going to have to beat Memphis, which they probably can, and then they run into the Lakers, though there is an argument to be said that the Lakers are going to be more susceptible early than late. But that's, I think, why everyone's kind of, you'll hear a lot of Portland. You heard Charles. You're hearing a lot of Portland. There's some logic behind it, but the logic as much as anything is that middle group is not that appealing. All right, well, we're about to get started this week. First scrimmages will happen on the 22nd, we'll play the 23rd. But the 22nd Wednesday at 1 o'clock hour time, Orlando and the Clippers will play a scrimmage. We'll be back on the court this week. The NBA is finally back. It is Locked On Jazz. Thanks very much for tuning in. Monday edition of Locked On NBA. Josh Lloyd does the local experts on the biggest stories of the NBA. So make sure right now you tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of podcast Locked On NBA.